Good afternoon and happy new year to one and all. It's Verum Sports here, 3 till 6. And of course, I was part of Radio Verum, 92.6 FM, the radio station that loves St Albans here on Verum Sports. We love following the Saints. And we've got another super treat to start the new year in a bang. It's the main man, the head honcho, the coach and manager of our Saints, Ian Allanson. Welcome back to Verum Sports and a big happy new year to you. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you, Tony. Yeah, really good, thank you.
Hey, great, great stuff. Ian, always a massive pleasure to have you on Verum Sports. And first and foremost, I can understand that nobody's kind of getting too excited at this moment in time, but I must give you a massive congratulations. When you and I spoke last, just before Christmas, it was rock bottom, and the initial kind of focus has been accomplished, and that was get off the bottom and out of the relegation zone for the first time in a while. That reflects a, by and large, really quite successful festive period for you guys. So again, a congratulations. And did you see that run coming, or is it just a matter of, you know, the guys really excelled during that festive feast of football?
No, I think it was the 14th of January, 14th of December when we spoke. So we'd had a couple of positive results against Chelmsford and against Hampton and Richmond. I felt the performances were changing. Obviously, going into the Christmas period, I think today's the sixth game in 18 days, so it's taken a real toll on the squad in terms of trying to manage the squad in injuries and fitness levels. But, you know, somebody that said to me, you've got Weymouth away, Hemel away, Wiltshire away and Hemel at home, and you've taken 6 points, I'd have been over the moon with that. Just a little bit disappointed we've not picked something up in the last two away games, you know, 2-1-0 defeats at Wiltshire and Hemel. I just felt in both games we had opportunities to pick something up, and it's probably a little bit disappointed in the final the last two games. But apart from that, you know, it's been a great festive period, but we've got to continue that now into the January period.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. But just again, just in the spirit of reflection, five matches that run unbeaten, showing some wonderful spirit, not least of which the 17th of December, Oxford City, where you three times came from behind. Then, you know, two matches with victories. And you mentioned recently the 2-1-0 defeats. Again, one of those against near rivals Hemel, who you actually turned over in that run. And that's always got that derby edge to it. And the Wealdstone game, well, goodness me, Ian, they still top the league. A really more than respectable run, but you're dead right. You want to refocus, reframe on that positivity and snap this losing run, I would imagine, literally starting today.
Yeah, and you're right. And it's a great measure that we are measuring ourselves now against the teams at the top of the table, that we are disappointed when we come away from Wealdstone and Hemel with defeats. But as you say, the focus now is Hungerford, and knowing the reports we've had of Hungerford and where they are in the table, you know, this is going to be, if not tougher, one of the toughest games you've had in this period over the last 6 weeks. I think when you're bottom of the table, a lot of teams don't take you serious. They probably feel that they've just got to turn up and turn you over. And we've surprised one or two of these teams where today, you know, Hungerford know if they beat us, that puts them within touching distance of us. If we can beat them, and that takes us a further 3 points away, which I think would be an eight-point gap at this stage of the season, which would be massive. But also, you know, one thing we mustn't do today is to lose, which is the most important thing, because we don't want Hungerford closing that gap any further. And we've got to stay focused, because as I said earlier, this will be as tough as any of the five games we've had over the Christmas period.
No doubt about that one. As you rightly say, Hungerford currently reside rock bottom of the Vanarama League. But accordingly, dogfight syndrome, you've been there yourself, you know it. They're going to be scrapping for their lives. They actually, although they've lost, the last away victory was November, of their 17 points they've accumulated, 9 have been on their travels. So this is a side who perhaps are one of those who perform a little bit better when they don't have that home faithful cheering them on, maybe a little bit less pressure on the road.
Without shadow of doubt, and I've expressed this already, that their away form is better than their home form. You know, it's only marginally, but, and that's no disrespect to Hungerford, but the playing surface down at Hungerford isn't the best in the world, so they're probably, you know, they prefer playing away from home. They've got a better surface to play on. They do try and play football. So, you know, we know what to expect. You know, there's no excuses from us today in terms of, oh, we're only playing Hungerford. You know, we have to approach the game right, they'll feel that they can come here and beat us. But we have to continue this run going and get back onto the winning ways and pick up as many points as we can now between now and the end of the season.
Which, of course, will be the focus, as you've already kind of alluded to and as we discuss pretty much every single week on Verulam Sports. One of the peculiarities, one of the quirks, one of the most fascinating elements of the Vanarama League South is just how topsy-turvy it is. And, again, you mentioned a victory today would pull you 8 points clear. It already, as it stands, before a ball has even kicked this afternoon, Saints' recent run of form means you're only 6 points off your next opponent's Saturday week, Eastbourne Borough, up in 13th place in the league. So it just demonstrates, doesn't it, what a crazy, hectic league this is, where, as they say in American football, any given Sunday, any given Saturday, and indeed midweek with you guys, it's very difficult to lay a claim that you're going in as favourites or underdogs. So close.
Without a shadow of doubt, and you know, we spoke after the victory against Hemel on Boxing Day, and the gap at that stage between us and the playoffs was 8 points. And that's how crazy the season is, that, you know, if we could go and put 3 or 4 or 5 wins together very quickly, you know you're going to climb the table very quickly. And as I say, you know, 8 points on Boxing Day, we was off the playoffs, but we were still fourth from bottom. So there's loads to play for. You know, we've got to try and get these wins on the table as quickly as possible. Take the pressure away from being in the lower regions, and first and foremost, as you said earlier, catch the clubs just above us. Then once we get a little bit of safety in that area, we can relax a little bit more in terms of what we want to do and how we want to play, and then hopefully just try and put a run together coming into the last 10 games of the season, where any sort of run might just sort of just nick the 7th place, which would be very tough at present, but you never know if you put a run of form together.
Which, of course, we're all hoping for. And again, you've already demonstrated more than capable of doing just that. Ian, I'm fascinated to get your learned opinion. It's obviously 30-plus years of managerial and playing experience at lots of different levels, of course, Arsenal in your past. I just wanted to get your take on to what extent does recent history with clubs play into a current fixture? The reason I bring that up, of course, is Saints got a great 2-1 win against today's opponent, Hungerford, with two quick-fire second-half goals pulling you ahead, claiming the 3 points after initially falling behind. Does that build confidence, or again, is it just one of those you play the here and now when the history is irrelevant?
I think it is. Again, you know, we're playing for here and now, because I think if you look back at that game back in September, the first half, we were very poor and we were very lucky to go in at 1-0 down. You know, we've had to address some situations at half time, which we did, and a reaction in the first sort of 7-8 minutes of the second half got us that victory. But we mustn't take away from the fact is that, you know, Hungerford in the last 10 minutes had some really good chances to get something out of the game. We lost David De Haeju, I think, with 15 minutes to go for two yellow cards. So again, you know, history does play a part in it, but I think at the stage we're in now, we have to focus each game as it comes. We can't look too far ahead of us. And we can't look behind us, because that's already gone. You know, as I said before, you know, the first half of the season hasn't been to what we expected. We've had to make some changes, but at the moment the squad is very balanced. I still feel we're a winger and a forward away from being where we need to be. But we can only bring them in when the right people become available, and obviously at the right price, because we don't want to be expending money on something that's not going to improve us in terms of where we need to get to. So, you know, we know there are areas there we have to improve in, but we have to do that in the next sort of 3 or 4 weeks as we go into the closure of the transfer window in January, because we can borrow teams now from Premier Leagues, and hopefully Watford might be able to help us in one or two of them in situations as we go into the next 3 or 4 weeks.
I'm sure you'll be working closely to bolster the squad accordingly. As you rightly say, such a hectic period, Christmas, generally speaking. But your league, it's just constant game midweek, game at the weekend. That management of squad has always been one of the biggest challenges that you're faced with. I'm wondering, can you give us a bit of an insight into squad availability today? I was reading Sam Merson hasn't been prolific, but is your leading assist merchant this season, could feature, and you've chosen to rest the eminently experienced David Noble in recent weeks, but I hear he's likely to get a run out in two. Just a little bit of an update on those two key players, if you can.
Yeah, that's just, I think, looking at both the players, really. I mean, David played 4 games in 9 days, and somebody of 37 years of age. Just felt really tired going into the Boxing Day game, which we decided just to give him a rest completely. Brought him back in for sort of 35 minutes on Saturday. And again, you know, looking at Scotty Shorten's performances, that you know, the two of them had dovetailed really well over the last 5 or 6 weeks. So again, you know, Scotty can go in there and do a job. David can also go in there and do a job. So we're very good in that area, that we've got both players, experienced players, and both fully fit. And obviously Sam's been out of an injury since the Oxford game, so he's missed the Christmas period. So he's been to see somebody this week who's done some work with him in terms of away from the club, and it seems to have worked really well. Whether he'll be fit to be involved today, we'll have to see that when we get to 12:30. But if certainly not this week, by next week he should be fully fit back to be involved with what we're trying to do.
Excellent stuff. We'll watch that. We'll be following you all afternoon here on Verum Sports. As I say, Sam Mercer, not as prolific as he was maybe a season ago, but does still, despite that absenteeism, lead the team in terms of assists at this moment in time. One man who has been eminently amongst the goals, player of the month for December, Joe Iosifano, his second player of the month of the season. I think it's 14 goals in 25 appearances, 23 starts. He's really been a man who's had an eye for the net this season, and as you say, given the nature of the league and how tight it is, given the need to get on winning runs, he's going to be critical throughout the rest of the season, isn't he?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. And what people don't realise, or what that stat doesn't show, is that, you know, he missed 6 weeks of the season with a poor ankle injury, which took longer to get over than we expected. But also, when he comes back after being out for 6 weeks, we haven't got the facilities where we can get him back up to match fitness as quick as we can. So, you know, if you take 8 weeks of his season that's been lost through injury and fitness, to score 14 goals at this stage of the season, you know, he could have quite easily been on 20 goals now, and them extra 6 goals might be the difference between us being mid-table and being third from bottom. So you have to accept that. The one thing we didn't do, and we couldn't do it, we didn't really replace his goals quick enough. And that was probably the one downfall this season. When you look at it, when we picked the injury up, we probably never had enough to come in and carry on scoring the goals that he put in the net for us leading up to that period.
Ian, again, brilliantly framed, well explained there to those who are not aware of the Saints' overall picture. Thank you ever so much. As always, from me and all of Verum Sports, massively appreciate your time. Looking forward to hearing from you all afternoon today in this big one with Saints up to 19th, taking on bottom placed Hungerford Town today. Then the matches keep on coming. It's Eastbourne Borough next week, away against Saints. Make sure you're with Verum Sports every Saturday. We will follow the Saints throughout their campaign as they look to build upon recent informed form. Thank you so much again, Ian. I always value your time.
Cheers, honey. That's brilliant. Thank you.
Top man. Thanks again.
Thanks so much. Bye.